2,000 Miles Below by Charles Willard Diffin. Prologue. In the gray darkness, the curved fangs of a saber-toothed tiger gleamed white and ghostly. The man-figure that stood half-crouched in the mouth of the cave involuntarily shivered. "Gwanga," he said. "He goes, too." But the man did not move more than to shift a club to his right hand. Heavy, that club, and knotted, and with a head of stone tied and wrapped with leather thongs. But Gore, of the tribe of Zoran, swung it easily with one of his long arms. He paid only casual attention as the great cat passed on into the night. One leathery hand was raised to shield his slitted eyes. The wind from the north struck towards the mouth of the cave, and it brought with it cold, driving rain and whirling flurries of frozen pellets that bit and stung. Snow? Gore had traveled far, but never had seen a storm like this with white cold in the air. Again a shiver that was part fear ripped through his muscles and gripped with invisible fingers at his knotted arms. "The beast of the north is angry," he told himself. Through the dark and storm, animals drifted past before the blasts of cold. They were fleeing. They were full of fear. Fear of something that the dull mind of Gore could not picture, but in that mind was the same wordless panic. Gore, the man-animal of that pre-glacial day, stared wonderingly, stupidly, into the storm with eyes like those of the wild pig. His arms were long, almost to his knees. His hair, coarse and matted, hung in greasy locks about his savage face. Behind his low retreating forehead was place for little of thought or reason. Yet Gore was a man, and he met the threat of disaster by something better than blind, terrified animal flight. A scant hundred in the tribe, men and women, and little pot-bellied brown children. Gore gathered them together in the cave, far back from the mouth. "For many moons," he told them by words and signs, "the fear has been upon us. There have been signs for us to see, and for all the 4 feet, for Hathor, the great, and for little Wati in his hole in the sandhill. Hathor has swung his long snout above his curved tusks, and has cried his fear. And the eaters of the dead have circled above him and cried their cry. And now the sun god does not warm us. He has gone to hide behind the clouds. He is afraid, afraid of the cold monster that blows white stinging things in his breath. The sun god is gone now, when he should be making hot summer. The 4 feet are going. Even Gwanga, the long tooth, puts his tail between his legs and runs from the cold." The naked bodies shivered in the chill that struck in from the storm-wrapped world. They drew closer their coverings of fur and hides. The light of their flickering fires played strange tricks with their savage faces to make them still uglier and show the dull terror that gripped them. "Run, we must run, run away. The breath of the beast is on us. He follows close, run." Through the mutterings and growls, a sick child whimpered once, then was still. Gore was speaking again. "Run, run away," he mocked them. "And where shall the tribe of Zoran go? With Gwanga? To make food for his cat belly, or to be hammered to death with the stones of the great tribes of the south?" There was none to reply, only a despairing moan from ugly lips. Gore waited, then answered his own question. "No," he shouted, and beat upon his hairy chest that was round as the trunk of a tree. "Gore will save you, Gore the Wanderer. You named me well. My feet have traveled far. Beyond the red-topped mountains of the north I have gone. I have seen the tribes of the south, and I brought you ahead for proof. I have followed the sun, and I have gone where it rises." In the half-light, coarse strands of hair waved as hideous heads were knotted in confirmation of the boast, though many still drooped despairingly. "If Gore leads us, where will we go?" a voice demanded. Another growled. "Gore's feet have gone far. Where have they gone where the beast cannot follow our scent?" "Down," said Gore, with unconscious dramatic effect.